Isa, Deacon Deacon Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the incredible truths and the historical events of Jesus and what he did during this week. I ask that your words, that this historical truth would be lifted up and we would follow our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a lot going on. One thing you would like to do if you want to follow Jesus is be bold. Be bold. Certainly Christ demonstrated this for us. And now this week, this Sunday, we celebrate what's called Palm Sunday. And it's the historical event. It's the last week of Jesus' life on earth before the cross. And in this time frame, Jesus is now, he's been teaching in his public ministry, and it is all culminating to this one week. Traditionally, it's known as the Passion Week. And some insane, awesome stuff takes place in this week for Jesus and what he does. And we're going to look over some of those things, just a brief overview, a survey. But if I can encourage you, take a look this week, for this week only, in your Bibles, read those accounts in Matthew and Mark and Luke and in John. They all have different accounts of details of the information of this last week. And wow, Jesus really knows how to get things going. And so, without further ado, let's take a look at this, because it's incredible. First, I want to talk about two things Jesus did know before his final week in Jerusalem. And one is he was going to Jerusalem to die, and two, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. There's a typo. Jerusalem was going to reject him and would be destroyed because of it. And that Bible verse is Hebrews 8:13, where it talks about the new covenant. And I can't even pretend to read that. Let me see if it's over here. It says, by calling this covenant new, the New Testament, the new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete is aging and will soon disappear. We're going to unpack this a little more deeply in just a minute. But the two things Jesus knew is this last week, especially with this Palm Sunday, this day of celebration, this big festive parade, Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die. And that Jerusalem itself, by 70 AD, would be totally destroyed. And that has some huge significance. We're going to take a look at that. Let's do that. And hopefully these slides will cooperate. First of all, Jesus knew he was going to Jerusalem to die. I don't know what motivates you in your week, but to think that, hey, at this end of the week, I'm going to be dead. Is that on the list of motivators? No, that is what Jesus had ahead of him. Despite the fact that this is at the peak of his ministry, this is when he is most glorified, and that is a skewed statement to say glorified. Yes, he's glorified, but not in the most holy way, and we'll take a look at that. But he was going to Jerusalem to die. And we know this from Mark and from Matthew, where Jesus told his disciples, here's all these people who followed him faithfully all these years. And then Jesus tells them this in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. He says this, they were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told him what was going to happen to him. He said, we are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. That's a lot. Now, because we've heard this story a million times, we're like, well, yeah, of course, that's what it says in the Bible. No, imagine if you were with Jesus, You're doing all these miraculous signs. You've already seen Lazarus come back from the dead by Jesus' very words. You've been following. He does all these miraculous things. He's speaking this profound truth. Lots of people are following. Then he takes the 12 aside and says, we're going there. Not only is the Jewish people going to reject me, then they're going to hand me to the Gentiles, which is in itself a horrible thing. And they're going to spit on him and mock him, the Gentiles, flog him and kill him. Oh, and then in 3 days, I'm going to rise up. All right? That's some serious stuff to take in for anybody. That's some amazing stuff. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, again, Jesus, as is another version of it, now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed of the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death. They will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. He's giving them this information. That's two different testimonies of what Jesus said to his disciples. Really? That's some deep stuff. Now, the best thing I could liken it to for our experience is go on a missions trip. The fear that you'll feel, the excitement that you'll have, it's a mixed bag. I can think of when we took a youth group to Lancaster County, Lancaster City. Did you know Lancaster County, home of the Amish, has a city? And the city is a smaller version of any other city. And I remember teenagers, because it was a youth group, they were bold enough, they were talking to prostitutes, they were talking to drug dealers, and there was a open-air evangelist who had a little children's program going on at the same time. They were bold. They were courageous. That very night, we took them to a teenage or peer-to-peer youth group event that reaches out to the lost, and they hid in the corner, terrified, because they knew these kids. They went to school with them. Give them a prostitute and a drug addict, and they'll talk to them all day. They're friends from school? No way. Hey, that rhymes. All right, that could be a pathetic t-shirt. But anyway, that was a huge difference. The fear and the dangers and the excitement of sharing Christ with others. And it's amazing. What fears grab us? What fears prevent us from sharing Christ where we're at? It's almost kind of easier to do it somewhere else because we can hit and run. But, you know, people know us around here, and tomorrow's another day, and what if they see me fail? And they will. They will. So anyway, so now Jesus is getting the team together. Now there's the rally cry. We're heading to Jerusalem, and you're going to watch me die. Okay, I didn't have enough time to unpack that more, but go look at the responses right after Jesus says this in both these accounts. It's really weird. I'm going to leave that for you to check it out for yourself. It's just weird. Next, back in 97, I'm going to move on to this here. Back in 97, I had the opportunity to go to Israel. And there's this church there, the Dominus Leftiv, I can't read Latin. Anyway, it's a church across from Jerusalem. I call it the Church of the Holy Chicken. That was my name for it. Because if you go into the church, you have this big window facing Jerusalem. Now, if you see here, that's the Dome of the Rock. That's the Muslims' like second or third most holy place. But it's on the Temple Mount. This is where the temple was. The Muslims did that, put that there because that's where the temple was. Across from there is this church. And on the church is a mosaic where they put these tiles on the floor. And that verse is that church is built on the traditional site where Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Why did he weep over Jerusalem? Because he knew that Jerusalem would reject him and God would reject Israel. He would wipe out the old covenant. Let's take a look at this. Jerusalem is going to reject him and soon be destroyed. It's in Luke chapter 19, 41 through 44. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day who would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. See, this is huge. Before the Palm Sunday, before that big parade, here he is, he's outside, he looks across into the city and already knows what's going to happen and weeps over their future destruction. And in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. Rome attacked and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. That's essential. This is a huge part. This is after Jesus has ascended into heaven, and just 20 years later or less, give or take a few, this entire city is destroyed by the Roman armies. And it was a horrible time. They encircled it, they besieged it, and there's a lot of horrific things. If you read Josephus, you can even Google it. What's really interesting is Josephus was a Jewish historical person. He wasn't a follower of Christ. He was just a Jewish historian. And him, and there are several other accounts, which I don't have here, so I kind of hesitate saying it. But it's cool, so I want to tell you. Even right before this event, like within the year or so, people in the city, Jerusalem, were looking up. And they could see what they said like were chariots zooming back and forth among the clouds. Something big and ominous was coming. And this is not in a Christian account. This is in a Jewish historian and several other records of this. Something weird's going on in the sky above the city. And they all knew that, hey, this is a bad omen. God was preparing to wipe out the old covenant system. Have you ever noticed that Jews aren't making sacrifices anymore? The Levitical system's gone? That's because it's over. When Jesus came, he brought a new covenant, a new system, and one sacrifice, it was him, it's all over. There's no more need for sacrifice. 2,000 years later, the Jews still do not have a temple, and they are not making sacrifices. It's done. You know, that's one of the huge evidences for Christ and the new covenant is that the old one's gone, gone, gone. There will be a time it will be reinstated, by the way, and that will be bad, very bad. Read Revelations if you want to learn about that. So here's Jesus' plan of course, Jesus and God's plan to see this happen. There's several things he's going to do. I call it Jesus kicks the hornet's nest. It's how Jesus instigates the Jewish leaders. Have any of you as a kid messed with bees' nests and hornets' nests and learned very quickly they know how to find you and can get at you quicker than you ever thought? All right, this is exactly what Jesus is doing. He puts on the full messianic presentation and drops the bomb in Jerusalem, and the reaction is they want to kill him. First, one, he fulfilled prophecy by parading in Jerusalem as their messianic king. Two, Jesus went to the temple and attacked their racketeering operation. Three, verified his authority with miracles. And four, he preached truth and made himself available for public debate. We're going to look at these four points. This is how Jesus is probably more. We could unpack it different ways. This is the way I'm doing it. This is how he goes in there and just lets loose with the full messianic King, dude, here I am, bring it on, and they do bring it on. Let's take a look at this in a little more detail. One, he fulfilled prophecy by parading in Jerusalem as their messianic king. That's Palm Sunday. That's what it's all about. Let's take a look at those verses in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 13. It says this, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. See the daughter of Zion. See your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their coats on them, and sat Jesus on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground. while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." All right, this is it. This is, the Jewish leaders knew the king was going to arrive on a colt, a baby donkey. And the people were parading around, they were waving the palm branches. You've all seen the videos, the movies of the various kinds as they depict this. This was a declaration, a public declaration that, "Yo, I'm the king and here I come, I'm coming into town, you better pay attention." The religious leaders certainly did pay attention. We're going to look at their reaction in a moment. But Jesus was coming to town, and it was not Santa Claus, it was Jesus, and he was letting them know, "Yo, I'm the king." Right? That's pretty rugged. It's rugged in the sense that the Jewish leaders didn't like that, and we'll find out why in a moment. I'm going to jump ahead to number two. So Jesus, first of all, goes to the temple and attacks their racketeering outfit. If you ever want to, get in trouble with the mafia or anything, go after the money. Go after the product, and you'll get in trouble really quick. And that's exactly what Jesus did. We find out in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. 'It is written,' he said to them, 'My house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" All this money, all this transactions taking place, and man, Jesus first comes in claiming he's king. First thing he does is goes to the temple and starts wrecking the money system. Ugh! He's picking a fight. I don't know if you all picked this up yet. By point number two, we know Jesus is doing one thing very loud and clear. Bring it on is what he's doing. He is just stirring up everything. He's doing it on purpose. And yikes. Yikes. I think of the stupid things I do and say by mistake. What? Can you imagine? Whoa. Anyway, yeah, I'm not Jesus either. All right, let's move on. Point number three.
Whoa, Jeff. Let's give the people a break and end right here for today. Has this got you thinking? Please leave a comment on Facebook or send us a tweet. Truth is here.